Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Morgana Ray. Morgana is an international number one best-selling author, award-winning entrepreneur, and life and business coach for 28 years. She's a favorite guest on television, radio, and print. Morgana has guided tens of thousands of entrepreneurs, innovators, healers, and humanitarians to heal the rift between heart, spirit, and money to save the world as only they can. Morgana, thank you for being on our show today.
It is my pleasure.
So with that bio, you know, that's like a tall order, you know, rifting this, healing this rift. Tell us more about what that means.
Well, and I love that, you know, this audience, we're focusing on healing because like I have my huge wounds and traumatic experiences too. And one of the unexpected ways that my traumas showed up was in my relationship with money, which, you know, especially we're talking 20 years ago. When people spoke about relationship with money at that time, if they did at all, it was talking about what are your negative beliefs about money? You know, what are your negative beliefs about rich people? And it was all very abstract, intellectual, interesting to talk about, but doesn't actually discuss a relationship. A relationship is with, it's personal. It's like you have feelings and thoughts about that person and that person has feelings and thoughts about you, and it's dynamic and it's real and it's personal. And so I've been honestly intuitive and a healer since I was a child. Mm-hmm. Like I never had any tolerance for the pain of others. I still wince when I think of this movie I saw as a toddler called A Girl Named Sooner, and the scene where they stoned the bird, that's 50 mm-hmm. years ago and I'm still not over it, you know? So a little bit over the top on, you know, the empathy thing, which I'm saying because I'm sure some of you relate to that. And so here I was, I've been coaching, you know, now it's getting closer to 29 years because I like to help people and because I take every, I feel the pain of others. And I was nailing it in terms of just acing one coaching training and certification after another. And some of them were like year-long, really difficult ordeals, but it was like, that's what I'm good at. And also, I'm a good student. I was hit by a car. I was in a coma for a week. I have a traumatic brain injury. Wow. I could not sleep for years. When I woke up, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't read a page and remember what I read. And this was all when I was in high school. And I still graduated from a top private East Coast college with honors. It almost killed me. But, you know, when I apply myself, I really do the work that's involved. So here I've been a coach and I've had celebrity clients and I have this reputation way back in the 90s in the entertainment industry. And what nobody knew was I was struggling to make $100 a month living in Los Angeles with the website and the business cards and the brochure and the tagline and the marketing and the public speaking. And people and a reputation and people wanting to hire me. But it was like I had this huge superpower of money repulsion. Like all this shame and fear and guilt would come up when it came up, when it came to that moment about talking about an exchange of money, my fear of hurting, causing harm, of people thinking I only cared about the money, all that just And it was so unconscious that I wasn't aware of what I was doing. But when people would actually want to hire me, I would unconsciously talk them out of it. I would push them away, or I would just have such discomfort that that would be repulsive. And it was not until, and this is, you know, this is the literally multi-million dollar question, because I have made millions of dollars since then, which is kind of crazy and amazing. But I had this lovely coach. He was a peer. We had graduated and certified from our first coaching program together as peers. And I trusted him. And he had a business. And so I hired him and I would do everything he told me to do. And I would make no extra money and none of it would work. And it wasn't his fault. And then one day I came to him after just this just catastrophic disappointment. Seven people in a row. I had taken the class in overcoming sales objections, like that was the holy grail, where they teach you the magic words to turn the no into the yes, blah, 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 blah. Great marketing, by the way. And so I took the course and I'm a good student, and seven people in a row were like, no, I would love to, but, and then they'd fill in their excuse and I would use the magic words and then they would say yes. And then they didn't show up and they didn't pay. Seven people in a row.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
Even in a failure, you can hear I'm an overachiever, right? Oh my God. Like, I had done everything. I had the business cards and the taglines and the pitches and the success stories and the website and the public. I did everything and I kept getting more certifications and more skills. And it was like a big fuck you from the universe.
Mm-hmm. And fatiguing.
Yeah. Hopeless, you know, just like, and I felt so rejected and so betrayed and so hopeless. And I really literally just did not want to play on planet Earth. What's the point? Mm-hmm. And I expect anybody listening, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The next day, I had a session with my coach, and this is the crazy thing. Like, I don't have money for rent. I'm borrowing money, I'm getting all these results for the clients that I have, but I'm not getting paid what I should be getting. So I'm living on credit cards and borrowing, you know, and which was, you know, this shameful secret. And I had a conversation with my coach. It's crazy. I had a coach, couldn't pay rent, but made sure that I had a coach. And which tells you my priorities. But thank goodness, because I'm here today because of that. And this lovely coach who'd been trying to help me for months suddenly had this weird, inspired, out of where did that come from question that changed my life.
Oh, I need to know this question.
Then I'm going to share it with you. He, out of true puzzlement and curiosity, said to me, if your relationship with money was a person, who would your money be? And only because in that moment I was in so much pain that I instantly saw who my money was without any struggling, any deep cleansing breaths, visualization, trying to control the narrative, none of that. I just like, whoa. So as soon as he asked me that question, I saw a person. Not a person in my life, just this imaginary person, but he felt real as day. And he was big and scary and dirty and violent. He was this tall biker dude, bald, with sideburns and the wife beater shirt and the tattoos. And by the way, nothing wrong with that, you know, that aesthetic, but he was dangerous. And I knew it. I knew he was violent. I knew he hated me. I knew he would cause me harm. Mm-hmm. I could feel it with every cell of my body. So it's not an intellectual exercise. It's a full body experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was like that instant light bulb moment where it was like, whoa, no wonder money isn't in my life, because I can feel myself in this moment with everything in me hyper vigilant, paying attention to this guy to create distance, as much distance as possible. So it didn't matter what I was doing consciously every day. If money is dangerous,
right,
we will protect ourselves from danger unconsciously. By the way, this is not just about money. 10 years later, I did the same process on my relationship with love because I was 45, never married, been looking since I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest area of pain in my life, which was 2012. I slayed my love monster. I met my husband 2 months later. We are awesome. Currently 26 weddings deep into getting married 100 times. But I had to make love safe first. And the way you make anything safe is first by facing up to what is not safe. Any of that high vibes only, you know, kind of law of attraction, positive thinking only is really going to hurt you here. Because if something isn't safe, you can pretend to not notice. But your unconscious, your subconscious right. is keeping a daily tally of every hurt, every wound. So what we want to do is we want to open it up and bring it out and magnify it and really face it. So the process, I think talked about the first half, which was, okay, so who is money? When you're like in that dark place, when you take a look at everything that is wrong, and having done this process thousands and thousands of times now for tens of thousands of people, I know a lot that I didn't know way back in, I think it was 2002 or 2003. And one of the biggest things I know is that the root cause of whatever your money drama is never really about money. It's about what money represents. And what money represents is literally the deepest core issues of being a human being, which is, are we loved and lovable? Are we worthy and valued?
Security.
Yeah. Love, worth, safety. Is the world a safe place? Does it want me? And power. And do I have any power in my life or am I powerless? And all of our victim experiences, which I hold to be supremely sacred because they happen, so we're going to use them. And they can be a huge source of power when we can use it appropriately, is when you open it up and you build this case of like all your victim experiences. And then maybe not just that, but everything in the world that makes you feel unsafe. And you just kind of bring it all out, and you don't have to get everything. You do not have to re-traumatize yourself. Not necessary. You do not have to harm yourself to do this process. You just want to wake up enough to go, whoa, this is enough to work with. And then you personify it. You just imagine, you make it up. What if there was a person who was doing all of this? And when it becomes a person who has thoughts about you, and wants to do things to you and is all bad, then you have the motivation to get rid of it. So when I saw that biker and I saw my reaction to him, I knew there was no way in the world that I could have money in my life or do anything I wanted to do in my life, including help others, if that was my money. Because right. I could not, I would never let him close. That was never going to change because he was bad. I had to get rid of him.
I'm very curious what he looks like now.
Well, yeah, he's morphed. I've done the process. I've done the process as needed over the years, because every time you do it, it evolves you and your relationship with money. So when I got rid of him, I had an obvious new problem, which is I live in LA and I just rejected money. And the thing about money is money, the reason I focus on money today, honestly, is because I'm way, way, way more interested in like all the like happiness, love, fulfillment, legacy stuff. And money is the number one reason human beings give for what we can't have, do, or be. And I have coached clients on public assistance, and I have coached billionaires. And there's money drama
everywhere.
Yeah. So wherever you are, you want to clean it up now so that you can move forward with the unconflicted, happy ability to make the money and the wealth you desire and enjoy it without having to get rid of it because it's a monster, because it gets in the way of love or causes harm. And any of those experiences, which by the way are real, you didn't just make them up. Those experiences of love, money getting in the way of love or causing harm are going to be really, really good reasons for you to keep it away or get rid of it once you get it. So what we want is a totally clean, happy, integrity-centered, love-centered relationship with money. So when I got rid of the monster and I had like this weird, whoa, this is not expected, but I feel like this huge empty space around me where that relationship was. And I didn't want the monster to come back. And I knew I needed a relationship with money. Every solution creates its next problem or challenge or growth step. I asked myself, well, who could I want so much that I'd be willing to have this person in my life, even if it's money? Ladies, I'm speaking to you, men too. But if you've ever been in a really bad relationship, especially a love relationship, you know you're not in a hurry to get into that again. This is where we chop off our hair and get a really bad haircut, you know? Speaking of myself.
You're very visual. You're really good with images.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It took so long to grow that one out. So I didn't want a relationship with money because the only one I knew was soul crushing and abusive and made me feel bad about myself and bad about the world. So I didn't want that again. So I needed something really different, which is why the question was, who could I want so much? Who would be so lovable and kind and worthy of love and trust that I'd be willing to have this person in my life, even if it was money? And when I asked that question, because the pain had been so big and the monster, the biker, felt so real, and now he felt so gone, when I asked that question, the next piece fell into place. Every step depends on the next. Mm-hmm. My new relationship with money that I call my money honey showed up, and he was tall, dark, and handsome, and romantic, and clean cut, and dressed in a tuxedo, and carrying a bouquet of red flowers, and he was in love with me, and he wanted to be with me, and he wanted to woo me. And I think I established immediately in our conversation that I'm a romantic fool as it is, like, you know, chasing Brian Patterson under the piano on his fifth birthday when I was 4 and a half. So there's something about...
My nickname for my husband is my hunk of burning love.
Biggest blessing in the world. Really, really, really is. I strongly recommend that the new relationship with money be a love relationship. I know that a lot of us have had sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. Many of us have never really had a safe love relationship. And I get that and I respect that. So I will say that in my experience, a lover relationship with your money honey tends to work the best in terms of just like lighting us up, making us feel loved and lovable, making us feel like equal partners. Having that, wow, I love to be alive feeling. And this is different because this is a partner who will never cross boundaries. You always, always are in control. You have the body. You set the pace. It's also an opportunity to redesign your love and partnership blueprint from going forward. So we aren't just changing your relationship with money. We are changing your relationship with love too. And it is not a requirement that your relationship with money be sexy or a lover. You know yourself better than anybody else. And you are on your team and you are your best advocate. So you just ask for whoever that being would be that you would want to be partners with. So quick disclaimer, I recommend that your new relationship with money not be Oprah, not be Gandhi, not be Jesus, because they're all kind of way up here. And we want somebody who is at your level, who is like, oh my God, you are amazing. You are powerful. You are creative. You deserve so much. And I believe in you. Because again, you have the body. We are not creating a like money fairy that will go out and do everything for you while you sit on the couch, because that makes you helpless. And then that becomes a new monster. So what we want is a partner who's like, oh my God, you are just the most amazing human being on earth. And I love you and I choose you. That is the language of your money, honey. That's how you know you're in that relationship. This person wants you and you want this person.
Right.
And you feel safe and you feel happy to be in this relationship, whatever it looks like. But in my experience coaching thousands of people, I recommend it's not a dog or a cat or a horse. We tried that all like back in 2003. Not a playmate. I had a client who her first tryout was, oh, my new money is going to be a playmate. And we play in the sandbox. Nothing happened. She came back a week later and says, I think I need to change my money to Viggo Mortensen. And she made $10,000 in the next 24 hours. So there's a little difference of like the energy. Okay. So you meet, I'm going to break it down to steps. I'm the non-linear speaker. I go in between like training and storytelling, because I'm actually, and it's by design, I'm speaking to your intellect to a point, but I'm also speaking to your subconscious, your unconscious at the same time.
May I ask a quick question?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I know you have a book, maybe more. Mm. Are these steps in your book as well?
Absolutely. I highly, highly recommend that my book, which I just updated after 10 years.
Well, tell us the name. Tell us.
Yeah. It's Financial Alchemy, 12 Months of Magic and Manifestation. And I launched the 10-year anniversary special edition on January 23rd of 2023. And by the way, the old version was really good. My client Pam had her first $250,000 sales month using my book. I think it was her second year using my book. If you go to Amazon for the first edition, there are just, you know, not hundreds, but a large number of like, wow, crazy success stories from people that I've never even met. And I looked at it last year and I was like, it's out of date.
Well, because you grew.
I grew. I know stuff now that I didn't know then. I coached way more millionaires, way more women to millionaires. And I work with what I call a kind of a closet mystic, you know, healer. Even if they're like in big data or technology, they've got like this, you know, witchy side too. In fact, there's a group of my clients that I love to call data witches. So, I started getting more and more women millionaires and just understanding the process more deeply. And then I added the love stuff to it. And so it was just time. It was time to update it, you know? And so if you go to MorganaRay.com, I mean, it's available everywhere, you know, go to Amazon, of course. But if you go to Amazon, come back to MorganaRay.com, which is my name, no spaces.com. Mm-hmm. Come back to the book page, because to do the launch, I also did some really cool other stuff, including a bonus Q&A call, because I know my material. I teach my material all the time, but it gets so much more interesting when human beings ask questions, because here's why I love being a coach. Human beings are infinitely resourceful at coming up with new obstacles that I've never seen before, that never occurred to me before. And that's awesome, because new obstacles create new solutions, which makes the work better. And it's just more interesting. So somebody in that Q&A is going to like ask the question that didn't get answered in the book. That's why I had the Q&A. So that's definitely what I would recommend. Can I just name the six steps now?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to quickly say I love your reframing.
Thank you. I always just try to share everything I can in the teeny tiny time we have together with an understanding that I don't expect anybody to master your relationship with money in 30 minutes because it's a big thing.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Right. But I really want to get you started. And I have a special kink, which is that if you do the process and something interesting happens, let me know. Let me know. I totally get off on that. I love it. So just go to my website and drop me a note. I love that. So here are the six steps. And I've already walked you through four. So we're like almost done. First step is uncover the root cause. And the root cause of your money monster, your money drama, your feeling of scarcity, whatever it is that you can't have it or you'll lose it. The root cause will always be anything that has ever made you feel unloved, unworthy, unsafe, or powerless, especially if it doesn't look like it has anything to do with money. Anything that broke your heart, any injury or accident or illness, any betrayal, anything that you feel shame or embarrassment about, throw that in. There's so much lead there. This process is alchemy, financial alchemy. It's the transmutation of lead and human experience into gold, spiritual and material gold. So step one, uncover the root cause, love, worth, safety, power. Then do the craziest thing and just pretend that there is this single entity, the more human, the more real, the better, who is all bad, who's been doing all this to you and all this to the world just to hurt you. It's completely made up, but it's also true unconsciously, because this is the language of the unconscious, and this is how we reprogram you. This is how we rewire your brain. The more you feel it, the better it works. And the first step is going in the wrong direction, away from where we want to be, like a slingshot, because it lights up your neurology and it creates the leverage and the tension to catapult you where you want to be. So the first half is all like slingshot stuff. Uncover the root cause, make it a monster, and then destroy it. Destroy it by any means necessary. The more dramatic and violent, the better. And my crowd is the love and light vegan crowd. So this totally freaks them out. I only say this because it works. We need to own all of ourselves, our victim experience and our rage. And the rage is like the heat that rises us out of the heavy, damp, thinking victim experience. And then when the monster is all gone and rejected and you're going, I choose myself, you are gone. And everything that doesn't belong in my life goes with you. And it's gone and you feel it and it feels different than anything you've experienced in your life. Then it's like, okay, now we have the fun part. Yes, there is a fun part. Now you have the space to meet your money, honey. You have to get rid of the monster first. I'm going to get totally coarse here and say that your monster will cock block your money, honey. The bed is not big enough for the three of you. You must reject the monster to have like a clear connection, unobstructed to your money, honey. Because rejecting the monster is saying yes to yourself.
Right.
So four is meet your money, honey. Step five is now you have a conversation. So here I have this hot, gorgeous, beautiful, romantic, loving money, honey in the tuxedo and the red flowers who wants to be with me. And my reaction was, wow, this is great. And holy shit, I have no clue how to allow money to be with me because I have been pushing it away my whole life. And the great thing about money being this wonderful human being is when you ask, you can get a response. So I said, what do you need from me so you can be with me? Which is not, what do you need from me so you can love me? Love is unconditional. Presence is not. You have the power to push your money, honey, away. So I needed some guidance. What do you need from me? And I steal the question. Yes. What do you need from me so that you can stay with me the way you want to? And my money honey's first response way back, I think it was March 2003, was I need you to love me and I need you to stop treating me like a monster. And I could feel the vulnerability and, you know, I didn't want to hurt him and it felt fair. So I made an agreement. What does that look like in real life? And that brings us to step six, concrete measurable action. So step five is have a conversation with your money, honey. Step six is concrete measurable action to let you and your imaginary money, honey, know that this relationship has changed for real, and you're committed to this new one. Now, for some people, that might look like balance your checkbook or file your taxes or call the person who owes you money. But for some people, the action might look like go take a dance class, go get a pedicure, go take your son to Paris. I had a client about 15 years ago, a guy whose money honey said, I want you to take your son to France. And he made over $1 million in the coming 6 weeks. It was a long time ago, so I get fuzzy on the details. Honestly, it's magic. It's the ritual part of it. But action, we need to take a physical action. And the way to know is you just throw out the idea and then you see how your money honey responds. And it'll be like, eh, or okay, nice start. Or yeah, that sounds great. And it doesn't have to be on the nose. I love the stuff that isn't, because mm-hmm. then it's coming from, I think, just that inspired, expansive.
It's playful.
Space, play. Money loves to play. Mm-hmm. So wow. I ran through that as fast as I could.
You are a really dynamic speaker. You're probably one of the most fun coaches I've talked to in a while. That was amazing.
As I'm talking about pain and all of our wounds. Yeah.
I have a couple of follow-up questions that you may or may not have opinions on. I don't know, since we didn't script this in advance. Now, do you think with most of the trauma and that results in, you know, issues with money, do you think it is mostly sexual abuse, or do you think it could be other traumas as well?
Oh, it can be anything. I've seen everything. I've seen sexual abuse. I've seen other kinds of abuses. I've also seen, because we're really talking about self-worth, our relationship with ourself and what we deserve and what is safe for us. So I've also seen here and there children that had some great childhoods and then life wasn't what they expected. So it was sort of like a betrayed promise, mm-hmm. sort of a bait and switch. I tend to attract, well, a pretty wide variety. And also a lot of people who look like they had great childhoods had violence or loss, because, you know, I'm going to get real Buddhist here. Loss is the human experience. Right. We have, nothing is permanent. I was hit by a car when I was 16. I lost myself. I lost everything that I thought I could count on myself for. So, you know, whether we were abused outright by the way I was, or we just have had some painful turnarounds in life, even the best life, everything is on loan. I believe that those of us who had dangerous childhoods, we developed certainly some unhelpful coping mechanisms that actually did help us at the time and help save us alive, help keep us alive. Mm-hmm. So even the pushing away the money is like, I have so much love and appreciation for the part of me that wanted to keep me safe by pushing money away.
Right. It was doing what it knows.
Yeah, but also, holy heck, like any of you who have any kind of borderline narcissistic drug addict parents.
I don't know anybody like that.
you develop a sixth, seventh, eighth mm-hmm. sense, all of it. Clairaudience, claircognizance, clairvoyance, you know, just stack them all up.
You just know. Yeah.
Yeah. You just know stuff. And that becomes really, really useful. Especially this is why I consider our victim experiences to be sacred. Is they can give us the capacity to respect the experiences of other human beings.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a superpower.
Mm-hmm. Nicely said.
So the reason I focus on healing the rift between heart, spirit, and money is because my people are the do-gooders and the world savers. Those are the people that excite me, that I want to serve. That's my thing. And money is the thing that gets in the way. And it's necessary for the healers and the humanitarians and the innovators and the artists of the world to have a really good relationship with money if we're going to change the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
The more we have, the more we can give.
Absolutely.
And the more we give, the more we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when people work with you, like, do you have courses for them? Is it a one-to-one coaching? Is it group coaching? What's your programs like?
It shifts. It shifts every year. So I have the book, which is a great place to start. I have some other programs. I have my Money Magnet Rapid Transformation program, which is a multimedia digital course. The next level is my Money Goddess Experience program, which was my sort of my what's next. I've coached all these people, women in particular, and I noticed certain patterns. Like, as soon as your relationship with money is handled, what shows up? Oh my God, your relationship with love. And after that, it's your relationship with power and personal boundaries and life purpose and building a movement. And so I, being, you know, this religion major, that's what I got my degree in. It's like, yay, I can finally use it. I created a pantheon of goddesses, and every goddess has her super strength and her wound. Like Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty and love and pleasure and wealth and abundance and all that great stuff, her wound is when she's not recognized. When we are not admired, we women in particular, but men too, it's a wound. And then we turn on ourselves and we reject ourselves and we do things like eating disorders and self-harm or buying things and then creating money drama, you know, just because Aphrodite loves beautiful things, but when we're doing it to fill a hole that can't be filled, yeah, then that becomes its own drama. Sex. Because I want to be loved and admired with people who don't love and admire me. That then when we have sex, that doesn't make us feel wonderful. So those are like the three primary symptoms of an Aphrodite disorder. So I have seven goddess archetypes to kind of take you through the whole journey from relationship with money to essentially being Lakshmi, mm-hmm, the goddess of abundance, and all the little directions along the way. That is the Money Goddess Experience. And then I have scheduled for 2024. I did it every year, once or twice in Bali before the pandemic. And so I'll go back to Bali in 2024. I'll do my Money Goddess Experience in-person retreat.
That sounds terrible.
It's the worst. For one thing, there are only 6 to 8 women so that I can coach each one one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're stuck with me for life. It's ridiculous. Because then, you know, because we fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a program, really just a tiny intimate coaching program available just to the women who did the retreat. And I'm not a like hard salesperson. It's just like, this is available if you want to come along. And even that is like super intimate and lots of one-on-one attention. And then, of course, yeah, I coach people one-on-one. Although I do less than I used to,
mm-hmm,
because I get more and more expensive and because I have to make space in my life to go around the world and get married 100 times in 100 countries. So,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, I threw way too much at you. Everybody who knows sales says don't give so much information. A confused mind doesn't buy. It doesn't matter if you don't buy from me at this moment. That's not what this is about. This is about, hi, I'm trying to help. I want you to have a beautiful relationship with money. Get started probably with my book. Join my newsletter. And the day will come when you're like, oh my God, I need more. And you'll know it. And then, mm-hmm, you'll reach out to me and it'll be perfect.
It sounds like your programs are this beautiful blend of healing and fun. Did I get that right?
I think that's, yeah, I think that is a very, very accurate description. I have to love what I do. If I don't, my money is not happy. Mm-hmm. And my values are very, very personal. So I've had years where I had thousands of clients. And that was fun until it wasn't. And I've gone in the other direction where I really, really value deep personal attention and personalization. And I think the coaching world has kind of gone off too far in the other direction of just like filling seats. So, you know, where my values go is where my money honey wants me to go. So even to this day, we have conversations. What's an integrity? What feels good? What wants to happen? And it evolves. But I don't want to leave anybody behind. So, and this is like a whole other topic, but for any of you healers who are in business, here's my thing. I can charge whatever I want for coaching because I also have so much free stuff available. Mm-hmm. Doing interviews like this, having my blog, having my book, which is not free, but a great value. And I want to meet people wherever you are on your journey and let you choose what is right for you instead of trying to pressure you into something that isn't a right fit.
Wow. Tell us again the name of your website. It's hard to
MorganaRay.com. It used to be AbundanceAndProsperity.com, which is a lot of letters. And then about 10 years ago, I noticed, wow, everybody coming to my website is searching for it by my name. So it's MorganaRay.com.
All right. Well, you gave a lot of value during our call together. I'm picturing a survivor listening who is in survival mode, just really struggling right now. What is your number one inspirational piece of advice you could give them today?
First of all, I love you. Just know that, like, really, really deeply, because I know what that place is, and I know it very, very well. And don't try to know what the value is of being in that horrible place. You will on the other side.
Yeah.
The job is right now is to stay around long enough for it to get better. Because it will get better. It does get better, but you have to be here long enough for it. Get all the support you can get. Some of it's going to be total crap and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. But you don't know until you just throw spaghetti against the wall and find what works for you. A really big part of my work is also healthy boundaries. Like when you have a really good relationship with money and a money honey who's like helped you say no to what isn't good for you. That can be really hard when you're in that terrible place, but it's also a superpower. So I'm giving a very convoluted response because, you know, I don't plan anything. So first thing is, it will get better.
To hope.
You can't see it now. Stay around long enough for it to get better because it does. You will see the value in the rear view mirror. Mm-hmm. And one of your most useful super skills now, even on the tiniest baby step, inch by inch, is get better at identifying what you need to say no to in order to say yes to yourself. And that will help you move forward into the change you want.
And baby steps count.
So they're everything.
All right. I'm so appreciative of your time with us today. I know your time's valuable. So thanks for being here.
Mwah.
I love kisses. I have three kiddos and they'd love to kiss on me and hug on me. So that's nice. Yeah. Well, thank you again. And thank you to everyone listening to our Sage speaker today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.